All right, guys, we're going to go quick today. We're in Acts chapter 24. I'm going to read starting in verse 22. It says, Felix, who was the governor who was part of this hearing that we looked at yesterday, his court hearing, he had a rather accurate knowledge of the way of Christianity, put them off saying, when Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case. So he has a hearing and he doesn't even conclude anything. I'll finish it later. Then he gave orders to the centurion that Paul should be kept in custody, but have some liberty and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. Well, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control in the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I'll summon you. At the same time, he hoped that money would be paid to him by Paul, and so he sent for him often and conversed with him. And when 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. All right, it's corruption. I've told you already, and I'm telling you now, there's going to be a lot more corruption. These governors, these judges, these religious leaders or whatever, they need to seriously drain the swamp back here in ancient Rome because it is a mess. This guy, he has the hearing. Paul gives his defense, says, hey, look, I didn't do anything wrong. It's easy to prove I didn't do anything wrong. It was very public, everything I've done. And they've accused him of a bunch of things that, if they were true, would be easily provable, and there's zero evidence of it. So Paul's innocent. Felix knows he's innocent and simply holds him anyway. It's pretty obvious. And, you know, they accused him of having these horrible, evil friends that were corrupting the city, he was using to incite riots that he brought into the temple. And Felix knows that that's not true because he says specifically, none of your friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. Like, these friends that supposedly are part of the big problem, Felix is like, yeah, let them visit. Sure, give him some freedom. I'm not worried about it. He knows Paul's innocent, which is remarkable because Paul is innocent, and I'm glad that he knows it. But he's corrupt. He holds him for 2 years, hoping Paul pays him some money. He's hoping for a bribe. That's what we're dealing with here. It's a governor who knows Paul's innocent and keeps him in custody, gives him a little bit of freedom within his custody, but he's in custody and he's innocent, and the governor pretty much knows it, and he simply is deciding to not bother to decide the case. He's like, yeah, whatever. And then at the end of 2 years, okay, no trial, the hearing's just over, postponed indefinitely. Lysias the tribune never shows up, like that doesn't happen. Just whatever, 2 years. For 2 years, he's sending for him often to converse with him. And then when it's all said and done, wishing to do the Jews a favor, he left Paul in prison. His term's over. Aren't these governors and politicians, like, scoot in a bit here. Aren't they supposed to, like, issue pardons at the end of their term? I mean, they do that nowadays. You do the politically risky pardon. You want to pardon some crony of yours. You do it right at the end of your term so that you're out of office, and what do you care after that? You set your buddy free. Felix could have done that, right? Nope, he keeps him in to do the Jews a favor because I guess he's a governor. He's this politically minded person, and he's like, I might need a favor from them, so I'm going to... It's just dirty. But I'm not going to complain about it. Forgive me. I complain. Man, I don't even live in this ancient time, and I complain about their corruption. I got a problem. Let's look at this. Felix knows he's innocent, knows his friends are innocent, not afraid of him. His wife, Drusilla, shows up, who's Jewish. Okay? Verse 24, Felix has a rather accurate knowledge of Christianity. Verse 22, he sends for Paul to speak to him about Jesus. All right, wouldn't that be neat? The governor calls for you. Hey, I need to know more about Jesus. Can you come talk to me and my wife about Jesus? First of all, it's just more proof that he knows that Paul is innocent. Paul's not guilty. If he thought Paul was some sort of insurrectionist, he wouldn't bring him to meet his wife, right? I mean, he knows Paul's innocent. Okay, side issue though. Wouldn't that be exciting? You, the governor, the president, some important person calls you just to talk about Jesus. That's neat. But it doesn't go anywhere. This guy Felix has Paul for 2 years on his fingertips. Hey, send for Paul. I would like to learn some more about Christianity. Send for Paul. Paul, like half your New Testament, Paul, at his fingertips. And yet he doesn't come to Christ. He doesn't grow as a disciple. He remains corrupt all the way through. What a missed opportunity. What a tragedy. Can you imagine? Because Paul, it says Felix has an accurate, rather accurate knowledge of the way of Christianity, verse 22. Okay? Verse 25, Paul reasoned with him about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. Verse 24, he wanted to hear him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. He wants to hear it. He has a rather accurate knowledge. His wife's Jewish, so she might be able to fill in some of the background Old Testament stuff. He sends for Paul to talk to him about faith in Christ, and Paul does for 2 years. I mean, there's so much potential here for this man to become a Christian, but to be a powerful source of a disciple, somebody who's out there. Man, wouldn't that be neat? Isn't that what we pray for our governors, our presidents and stuff? Don't we pray for them to come to Christ and be humbled? And cool, Paul's right there. Isn't this neat? But he never comes to Christ. He never actually moves anywhere. Paul talks to him, but says about righteousness, 25, verse 25, self-control and the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present time. When I get an opportunity, I'll call you back. And he does. He calls him back many times, it says in verse 26. But he never actually comes to Christ. He had a rather accurate knowledge of Christianity. I don't know what that means specifically. I'm going to speculate, though. My guess is he knows that Jesus lived, had a bunch of good teachings. Jesus died, resurrected, and Jesus forgives sins. I'm going to guess that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't know. It doesn't say. But I'm going to guess that ordinary people in modern times, because we want to apply this to now, ordinary people have a rather accurate knowledge of Christianity. In some sense, they would say, yeah, Jesus forgives my sins, something like that. Is that where you stop, though? That's where Felix stops. He stops with a rather accurate knowledge. And he has Paul, the encyclopedia of the Bible, who can quote anything, anytime, anywhere, who wrote a good portion of the Bible. So Paul, I want a more accurate knowledge. Come teach me some more, Paul. I want to learn more. Without ever giving his life to Christ. Because when Paul touches on righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, he gets alarmed and sends him away. Why? Because now it's personal, buddy. Now it's personal. Guess where God's righteousness is supposed to land? It's supposed to land in your life. You're supposed to become righteous. Felix, the guy who has not a justice system, an injustice system. Felix, the guy who's waiting for a bribe. Felix, guess what? You're going to need some self-control. When God gets a hold of you, the Holy Spirit isn't going to be content with your corruption and greed. He's going to want you to have self-control. You don't have it right now. Holy Spirit's going to want you to change. And there is a coming judgment, Felix. God's going to judge one day. You're going to be under judgment. So let's get you right with Christ. Let's let his righteousness come upon you so that it's not your sin when the judgment comes. And Felix gets alarmed by this because he's not interested in being a disciple. He's not interested in being a Christian. He's interested in having Paul, this neat political prisoner who's got a whole bunch of interesting things to say. He's interested in picking his brain. And when it gets personal, send him away. I don't have time for this. I'm a governor. I've got important things to do. But yeah, Paul, come back. I have another question for you. I'd like to learn some more. 2 years. Can you imagine the kind of growth he could have had in 2 years of having Paul as his personal mentor, personal pastor, spiritual advisor, chaplain, whatever you want to call it? Can you imagine? Paul, it was 2 years in Ephesus. That's like the longest he stayed in one spot. And now 2 years with Felix. And Felix goes exactly nowhere, zero. At the end of his term, Paul's still in jail. Hasn't learned anything, hasn't grown anything. Still playing political games, doing favors for this group. What a shame. What a shame. Paul doesn't complain about it. Luke doesn't complain. He just kind of records what happened here. This is what happened. But you know what? That's a shame. But you know what we have? We have more than just Paul at our fingertip. We have Paul at our fingertip. Romans through Hebrews. We've got Paul. Man, I'm convinced anything important that Paul had to say to Felix is written in the Bible already. He said a lot of important stuff, and we've got it. And we don't just have Paul. We've got Peter. We've got John. We've got Moses, the prophets. We've got David in the Psalms. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. We've got it at our fingertips. What a shame to not use it. What a shame to live your life and let it come and go by and not be transformed. What a shame to live your life with a rather accurate knowledge of Christianity, of Christ. What a shame. It's easy to point at Felix, the corrupt governor, and yep, he deserves somebody pointing at him for sure. But what opportunities do you have that you aren't taking advantage of? What opportunities to know Christ, to know him personally, to grow in his actual righteousness and self-control, to let it become personal? What opportunities are we missing right now? I don't know if we'll ever know them all, but let's not waste any opportunity. Let's not let any opportunity go to waste. Like he says in Ephesians 4, the days are evil, but don't walk in awareness. Awake. Now is the time to awake from sleep, because the days are evil. Make the best of every opportunity. I'm butchering. I'm not word for word there. It's Ephesians 4. You can look it up. Okay. We've got opportunities. Felix had an opportunity 2 years with Paul. He could have been talking to Paul and growing in his faith. He could have, who knows what could have happened. Instead, he tried to hold out for money and a bribe and political favors. That's a shame. Let's not do that. Let's not trade in a rather accurate knowledge of Christianity and see what it can, you know, that's interesting stuff, and then go continue to live our lives the way we always do. Let's be transformed. Righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. That's specifically what the Bible says Paul talked to him about, and it alarmed him because he wanted to have knowledge and he didn't want to have personal involvement. True faith will produce true righteousness. Self-control is one of the many things that the Holy Spirit will give you. Felix probably needed it. We all do. And I think everybody knows they do. I've never met anybody who honestly believed they were perfect. You might meet people who boast about it and you say, I'm never sorry. I'm proud of everything I've ever done. You'll hear that kind of cockiness. But I've never met anybody who honestly believes that they're perfect. Felix knew he wasn't. And that's why it alarmed him that there's going to be a judgment. There is going to be a judgment. And if it alarms you, it means it's time for you to get Christ, get his righteousness in your life, on your life, through your life. Okay? If it alarms you, that's a sign that Christ's righteousness is not permeating through. We need to be aware of it, and we need to be ready for it. Felix was alarmed and sent him away. What a missed opportunity. Let's get in our Bibles. Let's know him. We have an opportunity. We have a tremendous opportunity to know God, to know him personally, to grow in him, and to make it personal and to live it out. We have a huge opportunity right now. We've got Paul at our fingertips. And so much more. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll continue into chapter 25 tomorrow. But let's not let a single opportunity, a single day go to waste. God bless. See you tomorrow.